The text for today is from the 10th verse of that passage that Karen read. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. Many years ago, as I remember, it was an Easter dinner that my family was gathered around a table. And I've always found it to be humorous that at Easter we usually celebrate the resurrection of a Jewish Lord with ham. But as the dishes were being passed around the table, a family favorite was passed to me. It is a bowl of broccoli slaw salad. It is not my favorite salad. When I received it, at one end of the table, I took the smallest spoonful that I could in the serving spoon and I put it on a corner of my plate and I said, I thought to myself, icky, icky, icky. My wife says to me, what did you say? I said, nothing. Why? She says, you said icky, icky, icky. I said, did I say that out loud? And she said, yes. And one of my son-in-laws, being the kind-hearted soul that he is, smelling blood in the water, said, you know, Pop, that is the first sign of dementia. And then my wife says, why did you say icky, icky, icky? I said, because I don't like it. She said, then why did you take some? I said, I was trying to be polite. She says, by saying icky, icky, icky. Ever since that day, that family favorite has been referred to as icky, icky salad. I think that there's nothing more destructive in the life of the Big C Church and the Little C Church congregations than dissensions and divisions. Nothing repulses those who are outside the community of faith than seeing church conflicts, and indeed, nothing is more traumatic or more destructive than a church conflict, because it is the body of Christ at war within itself. I oftentimes thought that when the church is doing everything right, when they're hitting on all the cylinders, the devil likes to come in and play and throw sand in the sandbox. Because if we can fight with one another, whether it be at a denominational level or within a congregation, then we are so busy using our resources and our gifts to do work other than the building of the kingdom of God here on earth. Our reading today comes from the apostle who wrote the first letter to the Corinthian church. He wrote multiple letters to that church because it was a church that was rife with dissension and difficulties within it. There are still factions and divisions. This is not new. We struggle mightily. There are liberals and conservatives, the rich and the poor, the traditionalist and the contemporary, black, white, brown, native-born, immigrant, gay, and straight. There are clearly divisions within the Christian community today. Since the Great Schism of 1054, when the Western Latin-speaking church broke from the Eastern Greek-speaking church to form the Roman Catholic and the Eastern Orthodox churches, the Christian community has had a great chasm in the middle. The letter that Paul wrote to the community 2,000 years ago is as relevant today as it was then. In the face of all this reality, the apostle challenged the Corinthian community and Christian communities today to live what one commentator called a cross-shaped life, a life that reaches toward the glory of God and also reaches out to the world and humanity simultaneously. Be in agreement, the apostle Paul wrote. Be united of the same mind and of the same purpose, and that is of glorifying Christ. This is easier said than done. Paul was not naive. He knows, for example, that gossip is a community killer. In his epistle that Karen read to you, he wrote, "It has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you. Some of you say that I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas." And then he asked, Has Christ been divided? How do we surmount divisions across denominations and at times within congregations? There is no magic pill that will bridge the gap, but there is something that we can do that lies at the very heart of the Christian faith, one of the four hallmarks, cornerstones, pillars of the Christian faith as it is defined for us in Acts 2:42, and that is that we can share a meal together, something that we will do later this morning. Kendall Vanderslice, in her book, We Feast, Rethinking Dinner, Worship, and the Community of God, wrote about her experiences of taking a year to travel around the country to visit what she called dinner churches, those congregations that intentionally eat together on a regular basis as a part of their life together. Some churches had a weekly potluck supper following worship on Sunday mornings. Others ate and fed the hungry that were a part of their inner city community as a part of their weekly ministry. One church that found itself with a very mixed congregation of people, an international congregation of sorts, had a monthly potluck in which they featured dishes from South America, the American South, and Ghana, West Africa. She wrote that these dinners bridged gaps and they satisfied two basic human needs, food and fellowship. As I reflected upon this text, I began to realize it is not by accident that Jesus established his church around a meal. As the Gospel of Luke tells us, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, he picked up the cup of salvation and said, "This cup is poured out for you as the new covenant that has been sealed in my blood." There will always be differences within the community of faith. This is to be expected because we all have different life experiences. We have all come from different families of origin. We cannot help it, but we have certain inbred biases and prejudices. We each see the world through the lenses of our own past experiences. But we can be united in common purpose. We can build bridges across any divide through the sharing of food, even if that food is icky, icky salad. As the Apostle Paul wrote a little later in this epistle to the Corinthians, "Because there is one bread, we, though many, are one body, since we all share the one bread." So, on this first Sunday of February, on this Super Bowl Sunday, let us break bread together for the glory of God.